It's time again to check the facts with PolitiFact Virginia, as we do every Tuesday morning at this time on WCVE's broadcast of Morning Edition. And we're joined again by reporter Sean Gorman of PolitiFact Virginia. Hi, Sean.
Hello, Wayne.
We have three items to ask you about today, all of which have appeared recently in the PolitiFact Virginia column in the Times-Dispatch. First of all, the county administrator of Chesterfield County made a statement that Chesterfield has eliminated more positions from its general government operations than the Commonwealth has from the entire state government since fiscal year 2009. Now, who would have thought that one county would eliminate more government positions than the entire state government? But what did you find out?
Well, what we're looking at here is how state government employment compares to Chesterfield's general government operation. And that's basically that basically includes workers in every part of county government except for the public schools. Now, County Administrator Jay Stegmeier said he had based his statements on figures showing the maximum authorized strength of the county and the state in fiscal years 2009 and 2012. Now, by that measure, the county saw its numbers drop by 181 full-time employees during that time. It went from 3,697 authorized jobs in 2009 to 3,516 positions in 2012. Now, the state, meanwhile, saw its authorized employment levels go from about 114,724 jobs down to 114,557 jobs this fiscal year, and that's a drop of about 157 authorized positions. But we had a couple of issues with Stegmeier's proof. Now, first of all, the county numbers only take into account full-time jobs, but the state numbers are based on full-time equivalents, which includes both full-time and part-time workers. Now, also, the numbers the county administrators cited are maximum employment levels for the state and county. Now, obviously, many jobs just aren't actually filled. So we feel the best test of Stegmeier's statement is examining how many people were actually working in filled jobs. So we looked at state numbers from June 30th, 2009, that's the end of the 2009 fiscal year, and we compared them to October 31st, 2011. That's the latest date for which we could get numbers. And during that time, the state actually gained about 615 full-time equivalent workers. Now, on nearly identical dates from July 1st, 2009 to November 1st, 2011, Chesterfield saw its employment drop by 152 full-time equivalent workers. So the state government rose while county government fell, so we rate the claim true.
True on the truth meter. All right. The next item was a claim by U.S. Congressman Jim Moran of Northern Virginia. He said, quote, "The U.S. gun homicide rate is 20 times the combined rate of other Western nations." You checked the facts on those figures. What did you find?
Well, Moran's spokeswoman said the congressman's claim is based on a study of 2003 homicide rates in wealthy nations. That study, which was published in 2010, compared data for the U.S. to 22 other high-income countries who reported causes of mortality to the World Health Organization. In addition to the U.S., the study primarily examined countries in Europe, but it also examined Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan. Now, researchers found the gun homicide rate in the U.S. was 4.1 per 100,000 people, while the other countries had a rate of 0.2 gun-related homicides per 100,000. So the U.S. had a gun homicide rate that's 19.5 times the rate of the other countries, so Moran was correct. Now, we looked at for more recent data, and 2009 figures from the United Nations and national statistics from those same countries showed the gap had closed. The U.S. that year had a gun homicide rate of 3.0, while the other countries still had a rate of 0.2 gun-related homicides per 100,000 people. And that means when you do the math, the U.S. gun homicide rate was 15 times higher than the other countries. Now, just a quick point here on the terminology. Moran compared the U.S. to Western nations, but not all of them, such as Japan, are typically considered Western nation. Moran used the right number based on 2003 data, but more recent figures show a smaller gap between the U.S. and wealthy nations. And the congressman also used loose terminology when he was referring to Western nations. But his overall point that gun homicides in the U.S. greatly outpace other wealthy nations holds up. So we rate this statement mostly true.
All right. And finally, State Senator Donald McEachin of Henrico said Governor McDonald's proposed budget, quote, is cutting public education. Well, what did you find on that?
Yeah. McEachin has said that Governor Bob McDonnell's budget gives short shrift to education funding, and basically that he said that it cuts hundreds of millions of dollars from pre-kindergarten and K-12 funding. Now, in this fact check, we examine whether the governor is reducing K-12 public school funding. At a later date, we're going to examine whether pre-K programs are also being cut. Now, McDonnell has asked the General Assembly to spend $13.1 billion on public education during the two-year budget cycle that ends, or I'm sorry, that begins July 1st. The current biennial budget, which ends on June 30th, allots $12.6 billion to schools, and that equates to a roughly $500 million increase. So how does McEachin conclude the governor is cutting education spending? And we spoke with two officials at the Virginia Senate Democratic Caucus, the caucus's executive director, Steve Pasmino, and press secretary, Katie Mulhall. Now, what throws everything off, they said, is McDonald's proposal for teacher pensions, which requires localities to pay $1 billion towards their educators' retirement. And it also requires that the state to pay $600 million into the pension system. Now, the state's share of that is $342 million more than what it's contributing to teacher pensions in the current two-year budget cycle. So Pasmino and Mulhall point out that most of the new money the governor is seeking is for pensions. Still, there would be $155 million in new education money not earmarked for pensions. But Democrats say these calculations just form the periphery of McEachin's statement. So let's get to the core. Funding school programs is a collaborative effort with localities paying about 50%, the state paying 40%, and the federal government paying about 10%. So Pasmino said McEachin based his statement on the belief that cash-strapped localities would be forced to slash spending on education and on classroom instruction to pay for their share of teacher pension costs. Mm-hmm. Now, localities are currently paying $472 million for pensions during the current budget biennium, according to the Virginia retirement system. So that means city and county systems have to contribute about $530 million more for teacher pensions in the next 2 years. Democrats say the only realistic option is to cut other education programs, and many may go in that direction. But there are other options. Some municipalities could raise taxes. Others might increase their school budgets by reducing spending for non-education services. So we rate McEachin's statement false.
All right. Thank you very much to Sean Gorman of PolitiFact Virginia, who joins us Tuesday mornings here on WCVE's broadcast of Morning Edition.
Thanks, Wayne.